This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. It's been a year since five former Coliseum officials were charged with 111 criminal counts accused of running a brazen multi-year fraud scheme that stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from Bloomington taxpayers. In the 353 days since those indictments were unsealed, none of those five cases have been resolved. No one has been convicted or cleared. None of the cases appear close to a trial. And yet, that's not a total surprise, given the complexity of the case. GLT's Ryan Denham has been following the case. He's here to update it. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
Let's do a quick refresher. Who was charged?
So John Butler was the lead defendant. He's the owner of Central Illinois Arena Management, which ran the city's Coliseum from 2006 to 2016. That's like the first decade of its existence. He faced 44 counts, the most of anyone. Charged alongside him, though, were former Coliseum general manager Bart Rogers, former assistant GM for finance Kelly Klein, former concessions GM Paul Grazier, and former concessions finance chief Jay Lash. So their indictments a year ago capped this long 16-month Illinois State Police investigation that began in 2016. That was after John Butler's company left and a new company took over, and they noticed financial discrepancies basically and alerted the city. So for years before that, auditors had repeatedly warned city leaders about their contract with Butler and saying it was riddled with ambiguity, needed to be reworked, and several of those issues that were flagged are now part of this criminal case.
What are those issues? What are they accused of?
The original bills of indictment were kind of light on details, and that's actually been used by defense attorneys to try to get the charges dismissed. But some details have trickled out in the past year, namely through this related civil lawsuit between the city and Butler. In a nutshell, though, prosecutors and city officials allege that Butler and some combination of the other four defendants skimmed hundreds of thousands of dollars in concession fees that should have been paid to the city from the Coliseum. So an example of that would be Butler's company was required to pay the city between a 32 and 42% commission on food and beverage sales at the arena. So when you go to buy a beer or a pretzel, the city was going to get a smaller cut, just 15% for when you bought a beer and a suite, for example, so a little bit of a different percentage. So the city has claimed that Butler's company deliberately misclassified sales as coming from that cheaper section where the commission would be smaller, even though it didn't.
What do the defendants say?
In short, that they're not guilty. Butler's attorneys have argued that the authorities improperly took a civil contract dispute between Butler and the city of Bloomington into criminal courts, and their attempts to dismiss the case so far have yielded mixed results. Last month, a judge dismissed 14 of those 44 counts against Butler, but prosecutors say they intend to reindict on some of those charges soon, fixing some statute of limitations issues that were present. Also last month, during a hearing, two defense attempts to kill the case against Butler were dismissed by a judge, and a third motion to dismiss remains pending. Other defendants have also tried to get their cases dismissed. Bart Rogers, the former general manager of the arena, has actually done that twice successfully. A judge ruled that the indictments against him were too vague and did not fall within the statute of limitations, and he only faces at this point one pending theft charge, and that's down from 13 originally a year ago. Also earlier this year, Paul Grazier, he's again that former concessions general manager, was in negotiations with prosecutors to resolve the charges against him in some fashion. But those negotiations ended or broke down. His attorney filed a motion to dismiss as well. And, you know, he again is citing the vagueness of the original charges and statute of limitations issues.
Was that an attempt to flip him?
We don't really know. We don't really know. All we've been told is potential negotiations to resolve. No more than that.
Why haven't the cases moved more quickly toward trial?
Well, this is a bit of speculation, but one obvious thing to think about is how incredibly complex these cases are, particularly the one against Butler. The case has generated thousands and thousands of documents, and Butler's attorneys have been fighting to get access to like 70 boxes, more than 70 boxes of business records that were seized by investigators. They're still fighting to get access to those and search warrant documents, you know, that were issued to local businesses that had some ties to the arena. Another factor here, though, is possibly, you know, the prosecutorial and judicial churn on the case. Jason Chambers was the McLean County State's attorney a year ago when the charges were filed. A guy named Adam Grist was his chief deputy, his first assistant. Chambers has since left that job to become a judge, and Adam Grist has left his job to become a federal prosecutor. So the lead prosecutor in the Coliseum case is now Brad Rigdon, working under the new state's attorney, Don Knapp. So I spoke to Don Knapp a couple of days ago, and he told me that, quote, neither Jason nor Adam operated in a vacuum when moving forward on the Coliseum cases. He said that Brad Rigdon was intimately involved with the charging initially and handling of the case since its inception, and that Brad has his complete confidence. One other thing to think about, too, is that, you know, judges change. So Judge Bill Yoder took over the Butler case from Judge Robert Freitag, who retired in July. So, you know, certainly some time needed to get up to speed there, too.
Sometimes defendants' attorneys say, I really want this to move fast toward trial. Other times they drag their heels. What are the defendants saying about how long it's taken to advance this case?
At least one of the defense lawyers is saying that those changes in the state's attorney's office is slowing things down a little bit. Joel Brown represents Kelly Klein. She's one of the five defendants. He says that she is innocent, and they've engaged in some discussions with prosecutors about resolving the 12 counts against her, though he stresses that that doesn't mean there's not going to be a guilty plea is what he says. So because of those discussions and, you know, staff changes in the state's attorney's office, Joel Brown says he's held off on filing his own motions to dismiss like some of the other defendants have done. But he says that prosecutors are going to have to decide at some point here what to do with her case, or he is going to essentially start filing those motions to dismiss, putting him on the same track as the other defendants. Don Knapp told me that he doesn't think that turnover on the bench or in the state's attorney's office has had much of an impact at all regarding the pace at which the matter has proceeded.
What would a trial look like?
Well, first thing is it might not even be in McLean County, at least for John Butler. Butler's defense team has asked for a change of venue. They argue that the case has been so sensationalized in the local media that it'd be nearly impossible to get a juror in McLean County who hasn't already been exposed to a lot of information about the case and untrue stuff about Butler, as they put it. GLT's own reporting was referenced in this motion to change the venue, including this October 27 interview with Mayor Terry Renner. I'm going to play you a clip.
I have made it clear in the past that trying to deal with Siam was like trying to deal with a Soviet gulag.
So, you know, any references to a Soviet gulag is probably going to come up as you are thinking about what venue to hold the trial.
Inflammatory much?
Oh, yeah, that's the argument. Butler hired a jury consulting firm to survey a couple hundred McLean County residents. And this is what they gave to the judge. They found that survey reportedly found 26% of those who already knew about the Coliseum case thought Butler was probably or definitely guilty. And that's coming from the defense.
Is that high enough to successfully get a change in the location of the trial?
That's what we should find out here in a few months, so when the judge makes his ruling.
So what about the lawsuit, the one between Butler and the city?
So that's moving on a separate but parallel track. So Butler and the city of Bloomington have been tied up in an ongoing civil litigation about all this stuff. Butler actually sued the city first, claiming that he was owed like $67,000 in unpaid commissions. That was right after he was criminally charged. A few months later, the city countersues Butler, says that he breached his contract, and all sorts of other stuff. That civil lawsuit is where city officials have spelled out publicly the greatest details about the scheme because, again, the indictments themselves were a little light on details. So some of the most dramatic accusations that have come out of this is allegedly an internal secret document that was used to track phony commissions. The city is claiming that Butler used money from the Coliseum's fund, which was meant for operating expenses, to pay his own attorneys. So if that was true, it would mean the city was unknowingly paying a lawyer to negotiate against itself. Another one that was sort of interesting is that the city also claimed Butler's company was effectively billing the city to rent its own cleaning equipment. Again, I'll caution here that Butler has pleaded not guilty to the criminal charges upon which these allegations are, you know, resting upon.
You mentioned that the civil countersuit by the city against Butler accuses Butler of violating the contract, which is one of the defense arguments in the criminal case, that this is not a criminal matter, it's a contract dispute. Does that allow the defense in the criminal case to reference the civil case saying, hey, the city's even calling it a contract dispute.
Possibly. I think the contract is really going to be a central part of this whole thing if it gets to trial. There's just a lot of fuzziness with it, and fuzziness that the city of Bloomington was well aware of in the years leading up to the criminal charges.
That's GLT's Ryan Denham, who's been following the Coliseum fraud case for the past year. The criminal cases against all five defendants remain pending. This is Sound Ideas.